Remember the word above in the second one? It said, now if you do this, they couldn't, they wouldn't, they didn't do this. They couldn't, they wouldn't, they didn't do this. They broke it, even though God did his part, even though I had married them. This is the Lord's declaration. What happened? What were they supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? They were to take the law that came down from the mountain, and they were to live this law out on the land in the wilderness. They were to implement it. When you don't implement the law, you break the covenant. When you sit at home and do nothing, you break the covenant. Well, I don't do thus and so, you might say to me. And God would say back to you, that's not implementing the covenant. He said to those people, take this law, take it to the wilderness, live it out in front of the pagan nations, become a living, breathing reality of what it means to be a person of God. They broke it. What was the problem? Do you know why they broke it? Do you know your Jewish history? You know your first century history? The problem, now listen, this is so contemporary and relevant. The problem with those original people of God, the trouble they were in, was that they became content with the fact that they had received the law. And they stopped there. They had a national boast as a people. We have received the law, therefore we are the people of God. And they completely forgot about implementing the law. Why? What was the problem that they were in? It became tradition. The tradition that they became mired in, the tradition that became their problem and their curse, was that they thought it was enough to have had received the law. And they thought that made them God's own possession. You've been redeemed. And the reason God had to redeem his people from slavery in Egypt, do you ever think about that? Why did God take them out of Egypt? Why does God take you out of your slavery to sin? God could not use his people as long as they were mired in slavery. They were trapped. They were prisoners. They were slaves. God couldn't use them. He had to first redeem them. He had to take them and free them. Once he freed them, once he got them out of the slavery to sin and death, then he gave them something that they were to use. He gave them his law. Moses came down from the mountain with the law, and Moses tells them, here it is, now if you'll follow this, you will be God's possession. His holy nation is his kingdom. And they were then to use it. They were to be used by God. I've equipped them. I've freed them. I've equipped them. I've given them the law. I know Jesus said, many are going to come up to me on the last day, and they're going to say to me, I was redeemed. I was forgiven. And he will say right back to them, that's exactly right. You were redeemed and you were forgiven, but you didn't use. You didn't implement. It is all about God's goal. And we are there to serve his purposes. So that was the problem with the old covenant. They broke it. The covenant wasn't the problem. The law wasn't the problem. God wasn't the problem. What was the problem there? The people. God stays the same. His law stays the same. It's the people, then, that need to be fixed and dealt with so that the goal of the old covenant can go forward. Number four. Well, what stood in the way of their enablement? What stands in the way of your enablement? And here we have Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture is and much overlooked chapter, Isaiah 59. What was the problem? What stood in the way? Why couldn't they? Couldn't, wouldn't, didn't. Why? Isaiah says, "Indeed, the Lord's hand is not too short to save, and his ear is not too deaf to hear." Verse 2, here's the problem. "But your iniquities," I circled your iniquities, "your iniquities have built barriers between you and your God, and your sins." Your iniquities and your sins have made him hide his face from you so that he does not listen. What happened to these people? They fell right back into slavery to sin. God had redeemed them. God gave them the law. And God expected to use them. And over centuries, and you know why they fell right back into sin? Because they were content with having received the law and did not think it necessary to implement it. And they fell right back into slavery of sin. He's not their God. And they're not his people. Because their sin and their iniquities have built barriers between themselves and God. You know, when I study the covenants, I'm always amazed. And we're studying Romans in our Bible study. By the way, we had a powerful Bible study this morning. You're missing something good if you're not attending that. We're studying Romans. And when I read this verse in Isaiah, I looked at Paul, and I looked at what he said in Romans chapter 8, the top chapter in Scripture. And Paul says something there that we need to pay attention to. He says in verse 7 of chapter 8, he said, "The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God." Why, Paul? Well, he says, "Because it does not submit itself to God's law." Do you think it is not equally, in fact, more important today that we submit ourselves to God's law? Well, why is that important, Paul? Those who are in the flesh do not submit themselves to God's law. They're unable to do so. They're unable to do so. Wouldn't, couldn't, didn't. Why? They can't. Why? They have a mindset of the flesh. Why? Because they have iniquities and sins that put a barrier between themselves and God. And because of that, God can't listen. God turns away. God can't be their God. They can't be his people. There's willful rebellion going on here. Well, why is that important? Paul, who cares if we can't submit to God's law? And he says, here's a statement that Paul makes. In the eighth verse there, those whose lives are in the flesh are unable to please God. Boom. We've got to get back to the idea that it is vital and important that we please God. Absolutely, not optional. Paul, why are you making a big deal out of that? If we're under grace and it doesn't matter, if we're under grace and we're forgiven, why do we have to please God? Paul says very clearly, you're hostile to God unless you submit to his law. And the reason you don't submit to his law is because you are walking according to the flesh instead of the spirit. And the problem with that, Paul says, is this. You're unable to please God. Paul must put a premium on that, don't you think? Why would Paul mention that? Paul puts a premium on the fact that we are here and need to, and it's not optional, to please God. Redeem, give, use. You know what people need right now? You know, this is where humanity stands. Number four is where humanity presently stands. Number four is where unrepentant humanity presently stands. You know what we need? We need a new exodus. Do you think? People got themselves right back into the slavery of sin. We need a new exodus. Maybe you do. We need a new Moses. We need someone to come and release us from this new slavery in Egypt, from this new bondage to corruption, to being trapped in the slavery of sin and death that has no hope of getting out of. We need a new Exodus, and that means we need a new Moses. Enter Jesus of Nazareth. Is this not beautiful? Hopeful, powerful. Number five, God's solution. Here comes the new Exodus. What is God's solution? To the problem of the old covenant, to the problem that the people who were charged to keep this covenant, to remember, you're charged to listen and carefully keep. Nothing's changed. You're charged to listen and carefully keep. But the problem with that old covenant is this and this alone. They were not able to do it. Paul says they're in the flesh. They're hostile to God because they're unable to submit to God's law. Therefore, they can't please God. So, the problem, the solution to that problem is, well, God says, I get it. They couldn't, wouldn't, didn't, because they weren't able to submit to my law. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to fix and remove that obstacle. I'm going to remove the couldn't part of that equation. How? A new Exodus. I'm sending a new Moses. And I'm going to take those people who follow this new Moses and are redeemed from sin and the slavery of sin, I'm going to take them now through the, instead of the Red Sea, I'm going to take them through the baptismal waters. And instead of taking them to Mount Sinai and receiving the law from on high, they're going to receive something else. They're going to receive now the Spirit. Do you see that? Forgiveness, verse number five, it deals with the sin that stood in the way. Here, listen carefully, because someday you're going to stand before him. And I don't want God coming to Tim Davis and saying, I entrusted you with a ministry. I entrusted you with Newville Church. I entrusted you with a church family. You shortchanged them. Because someday you're going to stand before God and you're going to say, I'm redeemed, I'm forgiven. And you know what he's going to say back to you? You're right. You were forgiven. You were redeemed. The obstacle had been removed from your life to listen and carefully keep. Now I got a question for you. Why didn't you? Why didn't you? I took away the obstacle. Forgiveness removes the obstacle that stood in the way of the goal of the old covenant from becoming a living, breathing reality. You got that? You think the old covenant's not relevant? The old covenant gets drawn up into the new covenant because the obstacle has been removed from you. You want to claim forgiveness? You want to claim that you've been redeemed? You want to claim that you followed the new Moses and you've been liberated from the sin of slavery and death? That's right. For a purpose. Paul goes on in Romans chapter 8. And here's what he says in verse 9, right after what I just told you about the flesh. He says to the people that claim redemption, and if you claim redemption, and if you claim forgiveness, here's what Paul says to you. And by the way, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine this week in the office, and I said, you know, I tell my congregation, you got an issue, don't take it up with me, take it up with Paul. I know how to read Paul. And here's what Paul says to you. Verse 9 of chapter 8. You, however, just after he says that people in the flesh can't please God, just after he said people in the flesh cannot submit itself to God's law, just after he says all of that, then he turns the coin around and he puts the onus right back on us. You, however, are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. What's the inference there? You're able to please God. That's what Paul's saying there. The obstacle's been removed. It's no longer couldn't, wouldn't, didn't. The couldn't has been taken away. Now we're left with wouldn't, didn't. This forgiveness enables you to please God because you've participated in the new Exodus. You've been led out from slavery of sin by the new Moses. You've undergone baptism and you have come to the mountain, as it were, and now instead of the law on stone, the Spirit takes that law and he writes it on your heart. You are the people of God. You have participated in the new Exodus. You've been redeemed for the sole purpose that God can now give you the equipment to keep his covenant. Do you see that? Obedience is not optional. Obedience is not for the super spiritual. It is God's expectation. Parable of the talents. All three of those slaves knew what their master required. The third slave decides not to do it. Number 6, this opens the door for God's Spirit to enable God's people. This opens the door for God's Spirit to enable God's people. You are now presently enabled to please God. Yes, you are. Does that mean you live a sinless, perfect life? Absolutely not, because if that's the case, then I'm not standing here. But I was talking to Brock about this. Brock and Tori and I got together this week, and I talked to Brock about this, and I said, at the end, it will be the totality of your life. It will not be this particular incident. It will not be that particular incident, but it will very much be the totality of your life. It opens the door. 2 Corinthians 3:6. He has made us competent. Do you see that? You tell me, well, I can't do that. I can't serve. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too whatever. Uh-uh. That isn't going to wash. He's made you competent. You didn't do it. He did it. His Spirit doesn't fail. He's made you competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The parable of the talents. Here we are at Newville, small church, Possumman Road, small group. You've been enabled, according to your ability. That parable of talent is very clear on that statement. We each have different abilities, right? And because you're not doing, or someone else isn't doing what you think they should be doing, or you think this person's serving more, this person's serving less, we cannot do that ever because we don't know their ability. But the Holy Spirit knows your ability, and the Holy Spirit knows what you can do, and the service starts here, right here at Newville. You're enabled. You have an ability, and he's gifted you according to that ability. If it doesn't start here, in this cloistered environment, to serve in what way you can and what way we can to help the kingdom, to honor his name, do his will, and extend his kingly rule, how is it possibly going to bleed into the world? How can it possibly, how can your life have any kind of relevance bringing the kingdom of God to the world if it doesn't start right here? And you've been given something. You've been given a talent. You've been given an ability according to what you are able to do and not beyond what you're able to do. Are you exercising that? He's enabled you to do it. He's enabled you to please him. Number 7, the purpose of the new covenant, we come right back to it. I'll be your God and you'll be my people. God's expectation. Forgiveness, leave with this thought, if nothing else sinks in today. And the reason I need to leave you with this thought is because Paul also in Romans, in the 2nd chapter, makes it eminently clear that one day all people will be standing before him and they will be judged according to what they did. So I have to make sure, and the Holy Spirit has anointed me to tell you this statement, that forgiveness has removed the obstacle from your life that enables you to please God. The obstacle's gone. Forgiveness removes the obstacle that prevented the old covenant's goal of a kingdom of priests and a holy nation from being a living, breathing reality. That's where you're living. You're in there. Let's pray. Lord and Master, we pray that you would honor this teaching, that you would bless us with your presence, and we are enabled, Lord, to please you. Be with us this week as we bring your kingly rule to bear. Amen.